Reminded of a colleague who had in his congregation two deaf people, two older people who were quite hard of hearing. And you know what it's like when older people are hard of hearing. They speak in rather louder voices than everybody else can hear. And this colleague reached a point where he lost his thread of thought, and there was rather a long pause, and one of the guys said to his friend, "Has he done?" And his friend said to him in an equally loud voice, "Aye, but he don't know how to finish." Well, I do know how to finish, and we are going to be finishing this reflection on the psalm together this morning, which Mick has kindly read to us. But let's just pause and pray and ask God's blessing. Father, as we consider this cry from David's heart this morning, spanning centuries, we ask that we may, in our looking at this, touch areas of commonality that relate to our lives very positively, and that we may hear, especially if our life is troubled and difficult, and shadows of one sort or another cast themselves across our path. Lord, may we hear refreshing words, encouraging words, words that give us hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've just picked up on a few of the themes in this particular psalm as we've looked at it over the weeks. We've looked at the patient spirit and the waiting on God. We've looked at the need for an obedient heart rather than just formal religious conduct. We've talked about the intricacies of listening to God last week, and hopefully you've been able to weigh up the way in which you listen to God. And this week, the psalm ends with a cry from David's heart, a prayer, a kind of outburst in which he says in verse 17, "I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay." It's true to say, as we look at this passage, at this psalm, and this particular verse is the one that I want us to focus on, that last verse 17. I want to set it in its context of David's life. He's going through the school of hard knocks. It's thought that this particular psalm was written at that time in his life, when he'd been anointed king, and Samuel had gone through the process of saying, "This is God's man for the future." And Saul had got quite upset at that, and not, I think, any surprise. And he had endeavoured on occasions to do away with Saul. And so in that passage you see, "Those who wish to take away my life, those who are laughing at his credibility, you say, aha, aha." He was in a very difficult time during the early stage of his experience of growing up. A young man, but a fugitive, driven from the company of the king because of what had happened with Samuel anointing him. An occasion where Saul had thrown a spear at him. He knew his life hung by a thread. He was a fugitive in a rather desolate place. Life had become very hard. He'd sought refuge in Adullam's cave, and some malcontents had come around, and he'd got a motley crew that he was sharing company with, giving leadership to. And it was a hard and difficult situation to be in. He was actually a kind of brigand leader, different times to ours. these men offered security in a given locality, and particularly for those like Nabal, who was a wealthy man, and they offered protection from other marauding groups that would hold folk to ransom and would pillage at will. This was his life. It was difficult and it was hard. And David felt that he was poor and needy. What might it be in this situation that David was referring to with this cry of his heart being poor and needy? Well, he most certainly wasn't the king of Israel with all the taxes pouring in the chancellor's coffers. He was on a promise to be king, but he was not king, and his life did know the hard experience of financial want. You may recall on one occasion he went with a few of the men who were surrounding him down to the tabernacle at Nob, and there the priest made available to him the sacred loaves because he was so hungry. And you may remember that Nabal treated him badly, and his wife Abigail loaded up a whole donkey train of things, food, things to eat and drink, and took them to David because it was so out of order the way her husband had reacted to him. He was dependent on folks' generosity, and he felt himself very much poor and needy. Although it's a different world, I think most of us know what it is to be short of a penny or two. David might have been saying he hadn't got two brass farthings to rub together, but there are times in our lives when that's true. I remember when I first sent out in the ministry, I had a job as well as looking after a fellowship in Ludlow. And the times God provided in that situation, times when we needed a little vehicle to get about in order that I might pursue the job I was doing some 20 miles away. And you can't go on your scooter that far for long in those conditions. And my father and the neighbour, a missionary who had been out in Africa, had a vehicle here in England he wanted to get rid of, gave it to my father, and he and the neighbour put it together for us. Sometimes we'd come home and A.C. Jones had left a sack of potatoes on the doorstep. Times when we'd go and visit someone and a fiver or a tenner would be put in our hand. Just the kind of things that we needed. Well, let me tell you this. We moved from there to London and there was a full salary and there was a home provided, and we never saw anything of that. It was in the need that God met it. And I think most of us, sometimes when we face these things, need to realise we can cry out to God and share that situation with him. And in that situation, we can discover God's ability to provide. There's a lovely way in which this is also translated in the Good News. The Good News translates it as follows: I am weak and poor. If you haven't got much income, it affects your health. It affects your general demeanour. It wasn't a very healthy world in those days in general. And if you were not getting the right kind of food, it's going to affect the way you feel physically. And how often in our journey we have gone through times of unhealth, of real ill health, and encountered God there. That treatment for cancer, that operation. Times as a pastor, I've heard people talk of how in that dark, shadowy place of ill health, they too have cried out to God. And he has been there. Lay though I walk through the valley dark as death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's interesting too that in saying he was poor and needy, there's an emphasis in the words of his need of God's forgiving grace. He wasn't worthy of this. He was conscious that he as a human being had flaws and failings. He says in verse 11, do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. In verse 12, he says, my sins have overtaken me. They are more than the very hairs of my head. He was conscious that in the position he was in, he was not perfect. Now, I know we like to have this kind of feeling that we are better than we are. And I know that we sometimes sort of feel ourselves unwilling to face our imperfections. But if we are at a moment of honesty, we, like David at times, look back and think, I could have played that better. I could have actually handled it in a slightly different and more honourable and more wise way than I did. And the outcome has been sadness of it. And where we make mistakes, David is giving us an example that the God he'd come to know was one who embraced the flawed, people who actually get it wrong on occasions. It's always sad when Christians do, but Christians do. It's always sad when a minister gets things wrong and does something that saddens the congregation. I remember we had an assistant, one of a few that we had at Edmonton, who was a recovering alcoholic. And we all knew this. He'd been through a Christian recovery centre and had really come to know and love the Lord. And yet, sadly, on a couple of occasions, he stepped back and fell off the wagon. And then he committed suicide. Christians get it wrong. And as we looked at Jonathan's life, one or two of us said, we understand. But there'll come a day when we meet him in glory, we'll have a word with him. We get it wrong. And the cry of David's heart in his situation of need, in his situation maybe of less than the best healthy situation, a situation in which his hands got dirty. God wouldn't let him build the temple because he was a man whose hands were covered with blood. And yet this man is the man God took to really build and shape the kingdom that was to come. And this was his training ground. And often the difficult paths of life and parts of life are God's training ground when faith is deepened and our understanding of God is expanded. The setting, the circumstance in which David cried out to God, I am poor and needy. But it's a situation in which you find he takes courage in what God had done. And you often see this in the Psalms. David looks back and he whips out a line that echoes with something in his past for which he can encourage his heart and give thanks to God. Very interesting. In this particular psalm, there's a line that says, May the Lord think of me. There are three things really that he looks back to, and this is one of them. The Revised Standard Version says, The Lord takes thought for me. And the Good News translates it, you have not forgotten me. David takes encouragement from the fact that he knows God has not forgotten him. He is not forgotten. That's a lovely faith-sustaining window of hope in a dark situation, isn't it? You are not forgotten. Do you ever feel like that? That you're in a situation where you feel a bit forgotten. Your birthday's come and somebody important hasn't sent a birthday card. There's those kind of situations where you thought you'd have a phone call, but maybe they forgot. It's very easy for us at times, isn't it, to feel that people forget us. Let us in those situations not fail to remember, like David, that God does not forget us. He talked about in this psalm that God was his help. You, says David, are my help. You are my help. The God he had come to know was a God that didn't stand aloof, that didn't stand by, but one who got his hands dirty and came alongside to help. Isn't that the story of Jesus? Coming into our grubby world to help where we were helpless. That lovely psalm a little bit later, Psalm 46, verse 1. What does it begin with? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Having a faith relationship with God opens a window of hope. Having a faith relationship with God gave that man poise and sure-footedness. Having a faith relationship with God saw God doing things in a difficult situation. God had not forgotten him. God was a help, so he was crying out to a God whose help would come. The other thing here is God had been his deliverer, and he took comfort and encouragement in that. That he'd been in difficult situations out of which God had delivered him. Now, we'll just test your Sunday school knowledge from when you were a youngster. This is the insignificant little shepherd boy who tattled a bear. Now, we've all been to the zoo. I wouldn't like to try and tattle a bear. This is the insignificant little shepherd boy that saw off a lion from his flock. Now, I've seen a lion through a cage, but I wouldn't like to be the other side of it. This is the insignificant little character that Saul shoved out to face Goliath, who came to a sticky end. Goliath, that is. Can you see how in his past God had delivered him? He was in a tight corner. God will deliver me. Now, maybe you feel at times you're in a tight corner and those things are hard and difficult. Take heart that God has delivered you before and delivered others. He took encouragement in the situation he was in, crying out as he did that God had not forgotten him. He may have waited. There may be a seeming long time that he's a fugitive, being chased hither and thither by Saul, but God had not forgotten him. God was a God of help. He had helped in the past, and that God was a God who delivered. Now, I haven't had a bear, a lion, or a Goliath in my back garden. And I don't suppose you have either. But David wrote another psalm in which he talked about deliverance coming in other areas that you and I do have commonality with. In Psalm 34, it's worth going home and having a look at it. In verse 4, he said, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I had a church secretary who was a solicitor, but he was scared of the dentist. I had another lady in the very first church I pastored who always found going to the dentist a scary experience. So she would sit in the dentist's waiting room and recite verses of scripture that she had read to give her courage to go in. You see, there are fears we all have. And in our fears, we can encounter a God who can bring deliverance, ability to cope, ability to push through them. David in the same Psalm 34 and verse 18 said, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Ever been there? Know what it is to have a broken heart, to have a crushed spirit because of what's happened at work, at home, within the family, even within the church itself? God is a God who can deliver us in times like that. In verse 19 of that same Psalm 34, he says, "The righteous man may have many troubles." That's really true. But the Lord delivers him from them all. The idea that becoming a Christian is an escape is quite false. Christ is not a shelter from the storms of life, but he is a shelter in those storms. And he becomes the person who can deliver us in those moments, like he delivered David in his moments. God had not forgotten him. God was the God who helped. God was a God of deliverance. And we can know that at our weak points too. Let's conclude this simply by drawing your attention to the last line in that verse 17. And just making a comment about two things. Oh my God, do not delay. I'm sure we've all been there. The Good News Bible translates it, "Hurry to my aid." It's interesting. How did this psalm begin? "I waited patiently for the Lord." How does it end? "Please be quick." There's a lovely bumper sticker in America that's doing the rounds, and it says, "Lord, give me patience, and fast I need it now." How often we have that feeling, don't we, of impatience. And yet David began, "I waited patiently." You see, patience is a learning experience. It is a learning experience. In the waiting, patience is tested. In the waiting, faith is also tested. In the waiting, faith is matured and deepened. But it isn't a one-off experience, which is the second thing I wanted to comment. It's a lesson we often have to learn again and again and again. "I waited patiently for the Lord." Yeah, it's there. "But hurry to my aid." It's a lesson at the end of the psalm that's still relevant, and one that's relevant for you and I to hang in, believe and to trust the God that David knew and we know. And it's a lesson we will wrestle with. It's not an easy lesson. It's a learning process. It's a deepening process. And so the psalm that's worth noting, Psalm 40, I trust you'll go away with some value and some thoughts that may encourage your thinking and your walk with the Lord as well. Let's just pray. Lord, as we've thought through this psalm and tried to find commonality with David's experience and ours, and to encourage us on our way, we pray that if in our experience life is a school of hard knocks like David's, there are things that we find hard and difficult. And sometimes our walk seems a lonely path. Help us to listen to what we have talked about this morning and seen in David's life, and to take courage from that, and to take an element of encouragement too from our own lives, how you have brought us through difficult times, and that you will do that again. So we give you thanks for the journey we've made, for the peaks that we have stood upon and looked around, for the truths that have been like seeds sown in our mind, that we may see them growing and bearing fruit of eternal consequence. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.